With me is Leah Maitland, who's Senior Marketing Manager of Naxos Compact Discs and Records. And we want to thank you for coming here for a very unusual circumstance. We're going to have a number of guests who will be talking, as well as John Hill, Grammy-winning recording engineer, and a very, very unusual project. And now, I know you mainly as a compact disc supplier and distributor, and I was very surprised when we got the message talking about the concert that you're going to be doing here on Saturday, March 24th at 7:30 p.m. at the Cathedral of the Incarnation, that the King's Singers. And is that normal for you to actually put on a concert and then record the group?
No, it's actually very unusual for us to do something like this. The relationship with the King's Singers has developed over, I would say, the past 3 years. This is the third concert we've put on with them here. Initially, they reached out to us through Classics Online, which is an online retailer that Naxos manages. And we put a Valentine's Day concert on. And then last year, we did a Christmas concert. And this year, they called us and asked if we wanted to do a live concert recording with them. And of course, we said yes, because it's just such a great opportunity to work with this fabulous ensemble.
I mean, I remember when I started in radio back in 77, getting some early recordings, I think, at some point when I was still up in Illinois featuring the King's Singers. They can't all be the same singers that started the group, can they?
No, they're definitely not. Now, I would say, so there are six men in the group. And the group rotates. People come, I would say they leave, and then new people come in. Four of the six are 30 and under.
Oh, wow.
And two of them are a little bit older than that. And I think one of the really neat things about the group as it stands now is this will be the first recording of the group with a non-UK citizen as a member. Christopher Brewerton just joined the group about 2 months ago, and he's from New Zealand. And so this is the very first time they've had anybody outside of Great Britain be a part of the group.
Oh, my goodness. Now, since you're not normally a concert presenter, did that cause you any difficulties finding venues that you wanted to have them both record in? And are they recording in the same place that they're performing?
They are. It will be Cathedral of the Incarnation. We'll be recording the concert. So that will be what's on the release. And I think it was hard for us to settle on the right location, just something with this repertoire being sacred and classical. We wanted to have the right acoustic, but we couldn't have something that would have too much outside noise. So it took a couple months to settle, I think, on the cathedral, I would say.
Okay. Who decided the program?
The King's Singers decided it, and then Naxos, they worked back and forth with our office in Hong Kong to agree upon the final set will be performed.
A person who's worked for you before in recording the Nashville Symphony, at the very least, and winning a number of Grammys with them and getting a number of more Grammy nominations, and that in John Hill. How did you come to find him for this project?
Well, I would say the way I came to John was through Kevin. Kevin okay. Edlin is the engineer on this project, and we've worked on several projects together. So when this came to me and I knew I was going to have to record it here, I called Kevin up and I said, okay, so I've got this great group. We want to record them. I need your advice. Who do you think we should have as our producer? And I'd like you as the engineer. And so Kevin said, well, I think John Hill would be great. And I said, of course, because of the Metropolis Symphony right. and the Grammy that he won for his work with the Nashville Symphony. And so luckily, John said yes, and Naxos was really happy with the decision as well. So it's nice to be all local. All of us are in Middle Tennessee, and I think it's great that we can kind of keep it in this area and in the family, so
all sort of within 37 miles or so.
Exactly.
So, Kevin, I understand that you're a grad of our program here at Middle Tennessee State University.
Yes, I graduated some time ago, and I was one of John's students at the time.
So that's how you got to know him initially?
Yeah, and then we worked together. I was one of the engineers that would help record the symphony all through the years in the different venues that they were at, from back when they were at TPAC to some of the records that we did for Naxos at Ingram Hall. And then and John was also recording some of the concerts, too, and I was working on the sessions. And then they opened up the new Skirmerhorn, we started recording everything that they did over there. And so John and I started to work together again after, all these years.
Good. So was he he was obviously the first name that came to your mind. Were you tempted to do the project?
No, he was the very first person that came to mind. And when Leah said, yes, we'd like to find somebody to produce this record local, you know, as a record producer, and with me as the engineer, and John was the first person I thought of because he's a very capable producer and has produced some other things, and I knew that he'd just be perfect for it. And we've been working together for years now, so it was just, I knew it would be the right thing to do.
Great. Now, John, obviously you had no difficulties deciding to join the project.
Oh, no. It was a yes from the word go. Very excited, actually, to work on this one.
Now, what is the challenge? I mean, one of the biggest things I've seen is the release that you guys did with the Metropolis Symphony, and that's just a huge orchestra with all kinds of extra percussion, all kinds of extra sounds, the sirens and things, and some tremendously intimate moments, too. How would you compare that challenge to dealing with human voices a cappella?
Well, this project is it'll be a smaller footprint in terms of microphones. So in one sense, it's a little easier than something like the Metropolis, where you've got, you know, a fully landscaped stage and you have, you know, a lot of different elements to cover. I think one of the challenges here, and you find this anytime you do a location recording, is we're in a church, and we, as Leah was saying, we really, from the word go, we wanted to make sure we had a great acoustic for this particular ensemble, given the repertoire that they're doing on this one. But the challenge that you run into there is that whenever you're in a non-purpose-built venue, in other words, something that isn't a recording studio, you have sound coming in from the outside. And, of course, over the years I've done a lot of recording in various venues, so this isn't unexpected, but it's always something that you know on the front end that you're going to have to deal with certain things that you wouldn't be dealing with in the Skirmerhorn, for example.
Well, as Leah mentioned, one of those being traffic outside.
So
I've noticed even in the Skirmerhorn, I was there in a severe thunderstorm, and you barely heard that in there. So.
Yeah. Actually, there was one concert that Kevin and I worked on. I forget which one it was, but there was an explosives show or you know, people who do like fireworks, pyrotechnics. There was a conference actually for pyrotechnics, and they had stuff going on all the time during this weekend that we were recording on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And it was amazing because we had there was none of that on any of the recordings that we did. So, you know, they just managed to put in a great sounding room there. And with the acousticians that were on board on that project, they managed to isolate things really well.
Now, this will be in front of an audience, and it will be live. Will that present some added difficulties?
We hope not.
should add excitement.
Yeah. You know, you're always, you know, again, going back to the more symphonic works, it always seems when you're in the slow movement of a Mozart concerto or piano concerto, right, that is the moment that if someone has whooping cough in the audience, they're not only going to start whooping cough, but they're going to do it right near a primary microphone. So we're hoping we don't run into that. But it's still March, and you never know. This year, we might have a snowstorm. Who knows?
It's entirely possible with all of that. Now, the other thing about this, I've noticed that they are doing pieces of music that are inspired or linked to the Lord's Prayer. Finding the repertoire around the Lord's Prayer, and you've talked about the length being roughly 60 to 65 minutes or so. Were there difficulties finding enough varied material to make this interesting?
I would say, and the King Singers really did choose the repertoire, but in the choral world, so much of the music is sacred in nature that I would say that the difficulty would be cutting it down to 60 minutes of the Lord's Prayer. there truly is just a wealth of amazing material to record. So,
okay. And will there be, if there is something that does seriously, a major semi backfiring, will you go back and do a piece over?
Well, as would be common in this type of recording, we're cheating a little bit because we're not just recording the concert.
Okay.
We're actually going to have a pretty full rehearsal the night before the concert, and we're also going to have what we call a patch session, which will happen right afterwards on the, you know, following the concert on Saturday night. So really, between these three opportunities, we should have enough music to, or enough things that we can edit in and out of. Because honestly, with that type of thing, you never know when that's going to when something like that will happen. And having worked in churches a lot, I can tell you that I've never made a recording in a church where there is no interference from outside. I mean, it just you go into it knowing this is part of the equation. So,
and I would say the beauty of this is that the group is so excellent that we aren't worried about them.
No.
You know, they sound beautiful in rehearsal. So the only concern that we have is external noise.
Right. Well, and then the other question is, will you be miking it fairly closely? Otherwise, would you get a difference if the church is empty as opposed to full?
Well, Kevin and I were just talking about this actually on the way down, and we're just comparing notes about, well, which mics are going to go where and all that type of thing. But probably on this one, it'll be a total of seven,
okay.
Seven or eight mics at most. And, you know, given that the ensemble is six singers,
right.
You know, that's plenty. So we won't be close miking them as such. But the trick here going into it again is that you have to have a mic strategy mapped out so that as soon as the ensemble is in the room, we have to have our game ready so that the moment they start singing, we're ready to capture what they're doing. So we'll have a couple of mics up fairly close to them, and then something kind of in the midfield and something back further in the church. So we have different options to look at there.
I guess I was just looking at the question of whether it's an empty church or if you'll have some audience there on the dress rehearsal, essentially.
That is a good question. I would imagine that it'll be a bit more resonant on the Friday night, and that all those hopefully hundreds of bodies will soak up some sound.
Yeah. Although I'll tell you realistically that church has such a big acoustic, you know, it's such a large volume that I think a couple of hundred people aren't, it's not going to be
not
something
soak
that
on, much up.
When you listen to the CD, you're not going to say, oh, the front of that piece was from the Friday night. You know, I don't think anyone's going to do that.
Okay.
So.
Are there any other challenges that you would see in this? It sounds like you guys are in pretty good shape for us.
I think so. I'm just really looking forward to it. As Leah says, I think as soon as they come into the room and start singing, it's going to be wonderful. So, as always, you know, Kevin and I have done this for many years. It's the challenge on the engineering side is just to be ready. So that as soon as musicians come in, from the word go on the downbeat, you're capturing everything and you're ready to go.
And the other question would be, when are we looking for the release?
It will be in September of this year.
Oh, so, very soon.
So. Yeah, we're going to turn this one around quickly. So we want to get it out there and so people can enjoy it at home.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to thank all of you for coming by and chatting. We'll be telling you more about this concert. It will be an exciting opportunity to hear one of the great performing ensembles. I got a chance years ago to hear them in the Wheaton Memorial Auditorium in Wheaton, Illinois, for my first experience to the King Singers. But they will be presenting this concert on Saturday, March 24th, that at 7:30 at the Cathedral of the Incarnation in Nashville. And if you keep listening for ticket information, you can call 1-800-838-3006. And also, if you listen to us from time to time, between now and that concert, we will be giving away some pairs of tickets as well, so you can have a wonderful opportunity to experience both the performance and admire the engineering that will be going on as well, because you will at least be able to see the mics and see some of the setup there. And thank you very much for coming down and helping us with this and for offering us the use of tickets for our members as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.